In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On Pentecost, Christ pours out his Holy Spirit. Take note of what happened, but do not embellish the details. There is the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It did not blow their hair or move their garments or tickle their skin. It was only a sound. There were tongues of fire atop their heads, not large plumes of smoke and fire. They spoke in unlearned languages, not in unintelligible, incoherent babble. There was no ecstatic euphoria that led them to be helplessly rolling on the ground, but there was clear speech as Peter and the apostles declared the mighty works of God. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is certainly a miraculous event, but we must ground it in the historicity of that event and not in our own fantasies. We like our fantasies, we like to embellish stories because we always want something more inspirational, more exciting, or simply more better than whatever the Word of God has to give to us. So instead of looking for the Holy Spirit in his word, we look for him out there in our lives and in our experiences, trying to search out what he wants us to do instead of grounding our faith and life in what he has told us to do. Inadvertently, we relegate the word of God to a secondary importance, and our own so-called spiritual experiences to the primary. The crass example are those who speak in babbling tongues, do miracles, and feel divine power in them that renders them helpless. We may not be so crass, but how often have we said we feel like God is telling us to do something and live by our feelings and desires, instead of by that clear word of God? We too can embellish the word of God to try to make our lives more inspirational, our decisions more inspiring, and our will almost divine. We too can be discontent with that same old word of God. So what does Peter do on this miracle of Pentecost? He stands up, along with the 11, and begins to preach that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ whom they crucified, and yet God rose on the third day, and now has seated at the right hand of the Father to rule heaven and earth. And the people are cut to the heart. They ask Peter, "What shall we do? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Not incoherent babble, not Peter laying his hands on the crowd and performing great signs and wonders, not men and women rolling on the ground stunned by the Spirit's power, but logical, coherent preaching of the gospel of forgiveness and baptism. Christ has poured out his Spirit on the church at Pentecost so that they might preach the gospel of forgiveness to every nation. And preaching always leads to baptism, so that they too might receive that forgiveness in those Spirit-filled waters of holy baptism. So know that the Holy Spirit was poured out in great measure on this day, 50 days after Easter. But know also that the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament as well. For no one, old or new, can believe that Jesus is the Savior. No one can have faith unless it's given by the Holy Spirit. King David received the Spirit. The prophets preached, proclaimed the Word of God in the Spirit. And Solomon prayed at the temple's dedication that forgiveness would be given to all who come to that temple. Forgiveness is given in the Old Testament as well. But it had not yet been won. And so there were no preachers, there were only prophets, men who foretold the coming of Christ and the forgiveness that he would bring. They did not preach the gospel because in time it had not yet been accomplished. They prophesied to what would happen, to what the Christ would do. And they spoke about the types and the shadows, about the Passover lamb, the Red Sea, the manna from heaven, the temple, searching diligently for the sufferings and death of the Christ and his subsequent glories. They knew that all of those things were types and shadows and not the eternal reality. And so they looked forward, they looked ahead to that eternal reality that only the Messiah could bring. To when forgiveness was not just simply a future hope, but a present reality. The Spirit guided them through it all. But then Christ came. And when he returned from the Jordan rivers to Galilee, he went into the synagogue and began to do something new. He opened his mouth. And in the process, he opened the scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me to preach, not to prophesy, not to speak about things that will be, but to speak about things that now are. No longer was forgiveness a future reality. No longer was the Passover lamb only a shadow, but all these things had become realities in the person and work of Christ. Having sealed that forgiveness of sins in his own blood, he then pours out his Spirit on the disciples on this day so they too might open their mouths and preach. Not babble incoherent languages. Not heal the nations from leprosy, from sickness or diseases. Not to render them helpless by the power of God. But to preach the gospel of the forgiveness of sins to every nation under heaven. The Spirit was at work in both the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament ministers, but the ministry is greater because we do not speak about things that are to come, we speak about things that now are. And through that preaching, the Holy Spirit is poured out on you so that you too might see Jesus of Nazareth as the culmination of all Scripture. The mystery hidden for the ages revealed in his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. So the Spirit testifies that Jesus is the true Adam whose perfect life has won obedience and life forever for you. That Jesus of Nazareth is the true Abel, slain by his brothers to redeem his brothers. The true Noah, the preacher of righteousness, who sends forth a flood to renew the nations. The true Passover lamb, whose blood sets us free from Satan, and whose flesh we eat in the Holy Supper. The true King who fights our enemy, the devil, for us. And wins the victory, the true priest who offers the sacrifice to win forgiveness for us, the true prophet who proclaims that the kingdom of heaven is now ours forever. And on and on and on it goes. Christ alone is the fulfillment of Scripture. And so the Holy Spirit came upon these disciples at Pentecost so they might preach that forgiveness to every nation under heaven. The scriptures are meant to be preached so that all might know Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, is the Lord Most High who has redeemed them, conquered death and hell for them. So don't sit back, but go. Go and take that gospel and preach it to every nation under heaven. For the word of God is simply not ink spilled on a page, but it is a living and active, Spirit-filled word of God. You hear it and you may feel nothing. But neither did the apostles feel anything when the Spirit came in that mighty rushing wind. But something happened. Courage and boldness was given as they are filled with that Spirit, and the same happens to you. The Spirit comes and outgo your sins, for he speaks that forgiveness to you. And you are safe and secure in the loving arms of a gracious God. Faith is created. For the Spirit is the Lord and giver of life, and those who believe in Jesus Christ are the ones who have life everlasting. No need to embellish the story, no need to add our own fantasies. We like to. We want something spectacular, something inspirational, something exciting, something unique or charismatic. God gives us preaching and his word. So let us hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. For through it, the Holy Spirit is poured out on you, so that you may believe Jesus of Nazareth is the Lord's Christ, the Son of God, crucified and risen for you. Thus the miracle of Pentecost continues week after week after week after week. Take not your Holy Spirit from me, we rightly sing. Without the Holy Spirit, none of us can sustain our faith. It is a work of God to create and to sustain. So we are asking him to give us that word yet again, to let it dwell deep in our hearts and conform our words, our thoughts, and our actions to it. And we also are asking him to give us ministers to preach that word, so that our eyes might be open to see the wonderful things God has done for them, for us. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. That the Spirit fills them so that he might blow on us and move our hearts and minds to greater devotion toward Christ. As we see his blood-bought forgiveness coloring each page. For these are they that testify of him. These are they that testify to our salvation in Christ. Peter goes on to quote the prophet Joel. I will pour out my Spirit in these last days on all flesh. Men, women, and children shall prophesy. And so the number of the prophets has greatly increased, for all Christians are prophets. That is, all are to declare the wonders of him who has called them out of darkness and into his marvelous light. All give a reason for the hope that they have. All speak the word of God within their vocation, speaking with certainty that heaven is theirs because of Christ. The future is never in doubt, for you know of Christ. All are prophets, even as all Christians are priests who offer their bodies as living sacrifices to God, even as all are kings who reign with Christ. For as Jesus is the Christ, so also we are Christians, anointed with the Holy Spirit, prophet, priest, and king, to live before him and in his kingdom. But that does not make all prophets ministers. Pray that the Lord would continue to send forth ministers to preach that gospel. Pray that the Spirit would guide them, so that they would give to us his forgiveness and proclaim that gospel to every nation under heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.